Today's podcast is from Sunday, the 6th of December. So I just want to welcome you all to our worship service today. We've got a wee bit of sun coming in, as long as you don't mind that. Something we shouldn't complain about. It's an absolutely beautiful crisp morning out there. And just want to welcome everyone listening from far and near, and also those listening by telephone as well today. A couple of wee things before we begin. Just a wee reminder that our service next Sunday is going to be an online service here at the same time at 12 next week. And also, during the week, I had posted up on Facebook about an online concert by sponsored by Tear Fund, which I know a number of folks from both East End and Mount Cook had watched. And I just wanted to thank you, everyone, for their support for that. David and Yvonne Lyon were doing a live concert from their house to support the work of Tear Fund. And there's going to be three other concerts with other people over the next few weeks leading up to Christmas, and I'll share those as they come up as well. And I'll reshare the concert with David and Yvonne later tonight, just in case you missed that. I'll put that on Facebook for you. And it's a free concert, and if you want to give a donation, that is up to you. But I believe they raised, well, it was well over £1,000 they raised on Thursday night earlier this week, which was absolutely fantastic. And we've been fortunate to have hosted Tear Fund with David and Yvonne and others at Mount Kirk in recent years, and they've always been fantastic nights. But obviously with the situation at the moment, it's not possible to do that. So it's wonderful that they've been able to raise so much money for the work of Tear Fund, that does some great work around the world. So I think that's all our notices for the time being. So we're going to begin our worship just with a time of prayer as we commit ourselves to the Lord. So let's just pray together. Heavenly Father, as we gather together on this Lord's Day, we give you thanks and praise for your presence with us. Even though we are separated physically, we thank you that we are one in spirit as we join together in worship today, joined by our baptism into Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for this season of Advent that reminds us of your great love for each one of us, that you love us so much that you became a human being and entered this world as Jesus was born in Bethlehem. God was with us. And Lord, as we are reminded of this wonderful story and these great truths once again today, on this second Sunday of Advent, may our hearts be filled with joy and gladness as we recall how much you love us. And Lord, for those that are maybe struggling today, whether it's with the COVID restrictions, perhaps not being able to see family or friends, or feeling that you're stuck in the house and not being able to get out. For those struggling with illness today, perhaps those that have family members in hospital, Lord, we just ask that you bring your peace, the peace that passes all understanding. And we ask your blessing upon everyone listening today. And as we read your word and as we worship together, Lord, just renew our spirits, renew our hearts. And Lord, give us a fresh vision of your love for us and for your world. And even though at the moment with so many restrictions on our lives, it is difficult for us to maybe easily see how we can serve you in this world, Lord, I pray that you would fill our minds and our hearts with your imagination of all the incredible things that we can and could do to serve you in this world. And Lord, I thank you for the many great things that people are already doing. Members of our two congregations, Lord, I thank you for the way that they are serving, for the way that they are reaching out to their community. Lord, I just pray that you would help us to do more in this season to help others and to show your love. And so, Lord, bless our time of worship together. And as we say now the prayer that Jesus taught his first disciples, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen. So we have a wee mixture of music for you today. We have one sort of regular hymn and one Christmas carol. And I'm thankful to the folks over at Engage Worship who have produced quite a considerable number of carols that we can use that have the words, and these are free for us to use, and they've provided those for churches to use over Advent and Christmas. So a big thanks to them for allowing us to do this today. So we're going to sing together King of Kings, and although perhaps not a Christmas or Advent hymn, we are welcoming King Jesus and remembering that he came into this world and he was recognised as a king when he was born in Bethlehem. King Herod was threatened because he recognised that a new king had come into the world. So we sing King of Kings, Majesty, and then we're going to hear a reading from Isaac, from Isaiah chapter 9, that wonderful promise that Isaiah prophesies of the coming of Christ into the world in Isaiah 9. And then we're going to sing together, O Little Town of Bethlehem. And I've got a wee surprise for you at the end of that in my message afterwards. So please feel free to sing along at home.
King of Kings, Majesty, God of Heaven, living in me, gentle Savior, closest friend, strong deliverer.
Isaiah 9, verses 6 to 7. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen.
A little change from our usual service today, and I'm coming to you from the church. And as we have our Advent wreath here and we're not able to be in the church, I thought I'd light the Advent candles for us during our time of worship when we met in the church. A week past Sunday, we had Paige lit one of our candles for us on the first Sunday of Advent. I thought I would light the two candles for us just now. And that match went out. I'll try another one. There we go. I just hope that one's not going to go out on me. So our reading today on the second Sunday of Advent comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, and I'm going to read from verse 18. If you have a Bible at home, feel free to read along, or I've got the words here on the screen for us just as I read through as well. And Matthew tells us this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. And because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will conceive and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and they gave him the name Jesus. Let's pray together. Lord, as we read and reflect upon your word, we just pray that the Holy Spirit would speak clearly into our hearts. Lord, may our ears be opened to hear your truth. May our minds be opened to understand. May our hearts be opened to receive Jesus and to see him in all his glory. In his name we pray. Amen. Now, today in our service, I'm going to be talking about names, and specifically the name that was given to Jesus at his birth. And names have meanings. As far as I know, my own name, Francis, can either mean a free man or a Frenchman, apparently. And I'm sure some of you will know what your own names mean as well. And every year, usually about this time, the newspapers publish lists of the most popular baby names throughout the year. I don't know if the current situation has had any reflection on that. I hope there's no babies called COVID, but you never know with some people. But these are the most common names from last year, and comparing them with 1919, which is quite interesting. So in 1919, so this is just boys' names. So we've got John, William, James, Robert, Joseph, Charles, George, Edward, Frank, and Thomas. And this is throughout the whole UK. And then 100 years later, most popular names are Liam, Noah, William, James, Oliver, Benjamin, Elijah, Lucas, Mason, and Logan. Interesting to see just how many biblical names there are in more recent years, and how the names from the past maybe reflect names that were common in the royal family at the time. It was quite popular. So all these names have meanings behind them, and people maybe pick a name because it has some connection in the family, or there's maybe another member of the family of a similar name, or maybe they just like the sound
of the name or the meaning behind it. And so when we come to the story of Jesus, we're told that Jesus was given a specific name, and the name had a particular meaning behind it. And when we actually look at the meaning, it actually shows us a great deal of truth behind who Jesus is and who the Bible claims him to be and who he claimed to be himself. If we look back at that passage that we just read from the Gospel of Matthew, an angel of the Lord appears to Joseph in a dream, and he says, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Jesus will be his name. And so there's a connection between the name that he's given and his ability to forgive people from their sins. Those two things are very closely tied together. That's what Matthew is telling us. Now, if we look at the actual name of Jesus, Jesus is a Greek name. And among Greek-speaking Jews of the time, it was quite a common name because it means Joshua or Yeshua in the original language, is how it would have been pronounced and spelt. And what Jesus' name actually means is the Lord saves, or the Lord is salvation. That's what his name means. And it's a mishmash of two different words, Yeh or Yah, and we get the name Jehovah, comes from the same root, or Yahweh is the divine name of God in the Old Testament. So the first part of the name reflects the name of God. Yahweh saves. So Yahweh saves, the Lord saves. And so in the name of Jesus, there is a clue there as to why he came, and that's why Matthew tells us his name will be Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.
And that name, Yahweh,
goes right back to the Old Testament, to the story of Moses, when God told Moses to call God's people to start preparing to leave the land. And he sent Moses to Pharaoh to let God's people go. And God spoke to Moses initially when he went up Mount Sinai and revealed his holy name to him. And when God reveals himself to Moses, he tells Moses to go back to the people and tell the people what God had told Moses. And so Moses says, "But who am I going to tell them sent me? What name am I going to give them?" And we're told in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, that God said to Moses, "I am who I am. And this is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you." And that name, "I am who I am," that is where we get the name Yahweh from, the divine name of God. It was considered so holy to the Jewish people that in their Bibles they wouldn't read it as that. They would read the word "the Lord" instead, rather than say the holy divine name of God. And then it tells us in Exodus, God also said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation." So this name that God gave to Moses, this was the name by which God was to be known from one generation to the next for all time to come. The name Yahweh. And that is the name that is part of the name of Jesus, that Yahweh saves. Yahweh is salvation. And so what we're being told here is that the same God who revealed himself to Moses It's the same God who was born in a stable in Bethlehem. And the God who is called Emmanuel, which means God with us, is the same God. And then we're told that there's another name here that helps us understand more about who Jesus is. Matthew tells us all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. God with us. When Matthew tells us about this name, Emmanuel, that Jesus will also be called, Matthew is referring back to another name that is given to God in the Old Testament, right from the very beginning of the Bible, in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And the name given to him there is El, or Elohim. And so the El at the end of Emmanuel is the name of God. In other words, God with us. God is with us. And so what Matthew is telling us here, that Jesus is Yahweh who saves, and Jesus is the same one who created this universe. That the same one who created this universe is in Jesus Christ. This is God come to earth. And then when we get to the letters of Paul the Apostle, we see this same emphasis on the name of Jesus is telling us something really important. And in Paul's letter to the Philippians chapter 2 and verses 9 and 10, he tells us this, that therefore God exalted him, that is Christ, to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. So Jesus has been given a name that is above every other name. And there is only one name that is above every other name, and that is the name of God himself. And so Paul here is telling us that Jesus is equal with God, that Jesus Christ is God come to us in human flesh. And that is what the message of Christmas is all about, that God has come to our world in Jesus Christ. So what Paul is saying to us here is that there is a response to Jesus, which is that because of his name and because of what his name symbolizes and identifies him as God himself, that there is one response, that we bow the knee to him in worship. And that is exactly what the shepherds did when they came to see the baby Jesus. It's exactly what the wise men did when they came to see the baby Jesus as well. Jesus, name above all names. There is no other name, Peter tells us, in the beginning of the book of Acts, by which men can be saved. There is no other name under heaven by which we can be saved. And his very name itself tells us that he is the Lord saves, the Lord is salvation, Jesus. So some listening today, you will already have bowed the knee to Jesus. You already worship him. You already serve him. And so the Christmas message for us as believers is a reminder to us of who God is and what he has done for us. And our response is thanksgiving and praise and worship as we continue to bow the knee to Jesus in worship and in service to him. But maybe there's some listening today that perhaps you have never bowed the knee to Jesus. And I obviously don't mean something physical, getting down on your knees, but in your heart and in your mind, getting on your knees, is bowing the knee, it's symbolic of submission. It's symbolic of reverence. It's symbolic of admiration. As you would bow the knee as you stood before a king or a queen. That is how we respond to Jesus. So my challenge to you today is this Christmas, how will you respond to Jesus? Will you bow your knee to him? Will you give your life to him? Will you acknowledge that he is God's only Son and that he gave his life for you on the cross? And that through Jesus you have the forgiveness of your sins and the gift of everlasting life. Will we pray together? Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for the gift of Jesus, your Son, the greatest gift of all. We thank you for the gift of this name, the name that is above every other name, the only name by which we can be saved. And Lord, I pray that this Christmas, for those that are believers, the name of Jesus would be sweeter than ever. And for those that are yet to put their trust in you, that you would draw them to you. That they would be more and more transfixed and transformed by this wonderful name of Jesus. And so, Lord, I ask your blessing upon everyone listening today, either on Facebook or YouTube, for those listening by telephone. May your blessing be upon everyone. And now may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you all now and always. Amen. And as we end our service today, I'm sure you've been able to see our lovely Christmas tree in the background, which is all decorated with the lights on. And we are thankful for those that have managed to get this tree for us this year and decorated it for us as well. So take care, everyone, and hopefully see you next Sunday.